Real Business Owners.
What's up, Real Business Owners? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast, episode 83. Got myself, Kel Goodman, and as always, Trevor Cowley.
You know it.
And then we've got a treat for you guys today. I feel like it's a really special treat.
It's a treat for us, too.
It is. It is. It's a treat for you guys, a treat for us. You guys, we got Kaysen Jennings on the podcast today. Kaysen has been with us. He works with us. He's our top salesman. He's been our top salesman for 2 years in a row now. Mm-hmm. He outperforms by a pretty large a pretty large scale.
There's
right?
a gap and, between first and second.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. And that's what we want to dive into today. Yeah. We want to dive into that because we got a lot of sales guys that listen to this podcast. We got a lot of business owners and operators that everybody needs to develop their not only their sales skills, but a lot of things that you've developed that we've all developed over the last few years. And Kaysen's been on that journey with us, and I think he's gonna bring a lot of value today. So Kaysen, welcome, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, Kel says I'm a hell of a salesman, but I'm also a lover, a fighter, and a damn good wrestler too. So let's not forget that.
But a man of many talents.
That's right. No, you guys have had a lot of big names on here and been a huge inspiration to me. So when you guys called me to come in, I'm truly honored to be here. Truly honored.
You guys, there's a reason, you know, the accolade of being the number one sales rep for a few years, I mean, that's all good and dandy, but the reason why that's so meaningful is his past, you know, where he's been, right? It's one thing just praising somebody for sales, but the reason why it's so cool is because he has such a, I would say, a dark past.
Absolutely.
You know, me and Kaysen definitely have, you know, similar pasts in terms of drug addiction. You know, we both went down that path, and it took control of our lives. We were completely different people. You know, I met Kaysen, I don't know how many years ago at the gym.
It's probably been 6 or 7 years.
Yeah,
now,
it's been a while.
Least,
you know, so I'm pretty talkative at the gym. You know, I get to know pretty much anybody that's there at the same time as me. And Kaysen was there, you know, pretty much daily, religiously, just like I was. And so, you know, we got to talking, and he was a sales rep, and he talked about, you know, overcoming some addiction issues. And I even think through that, you relapsed and kind of disappeared for a minute.
Yeah, I wasn't done yet when we first started talking.
So, I mean, you were starting to kind of turn the corner a little bit, but that past still kind of had the hold on you a little bit, right? Where you're still kind of flirting with, maybe I'm good now to where I can kind of flirt with it a little bit and keep it under control.
Right.
But that's just, you know, a lot of addicts do that where they think that now that they've overcome it, they think that they can beat it and manage it at that point rather than having it take full control of your life again like it did in the past. And so you try to play the dabble game, and then next thing you know, you're a full-blown addict again and, you know, just fucking off your life, right?
And also a big part of that that played into it is I never thought I could have anything better ever.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, so much wreckage from the past that needed to be cleaned up that I thought it was impossible.
That's just, as an addict, you almost get to a point where you just accept that that's your life and that's your reality. I remember a few times me trying to quit, and after a few days and starting to go through the withdrawals, and then I would use again, I would just kind of tell myself, like, maybe this is it. This might be it. Like, I felt like I was giving it 100%, like trying to quit. And then you just start accepting that this is your life and this is your reality.
For sure.
And then you have to really hit a rock bottom, like a bad, bad bottom, in order to, you know, course correct. So let's talk about your bottom. Where was the bottom, and, you know, what was the realization? You know, was it other people, somebody influencing you, or did you just finally look inside and say, you know, I can't live like this? Like, let's talk about that a little bit and unpack that.
Dude, it's kind of funny that you go here right now with that. And I'll tell you why. But so for me, I'm a slow learner. I've been to rehab 9 times. I've been in and out of jail more times than I can count. I got the record to prove it. You know, but for me, I got to a point where I've always been hungry. I've always had the desire to do something, to be something. I've always wanted to be a family man and have my own family and stuff like that. And, you know, I grew up very, very poor. And I didn't want to have to worry about fucking money anymore. I wanted to worry about things that actually made me money so that the money wasn't the issue. But I had so much wreckage and was in and out of jail and in and out of rehab. And I got to a point exactly like you were saying, where you just get to a point where you're hopeless and you're like, this is it. And so I got to the point I wasn't using to get high anymore. I was using to die. I think my very, very bottom was, it's been years now.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because we go there for our company lunches now, the Bloomington Country Club. But I made the decision, like, today's the day. I'm done. So I drove over to Bloomington Country Club, parked in the parking lot, and did a shot of heroin that I thought was going to be enough to kill me.
Yeah.
And surprisingly enough, somebody that we all know, JR, was randomly driving past Bloomington Country Club, drove past my car, brought me back to life and revived me. And that wasn't the last time I used. I ended up going to Vegas. This was probably on like a Wednesday, that Friday night. Got arrested twice in Vegas that Friday night. So
twice in one night.
I tell you, dude, when I go hard, I go hard. But yeah, twice in Vegas.
Kingston doesn't play around. He tries to be the best at everything, even getting arrested.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. I'll outdo anybody at that, I can promise you. But no, and
booked
so.
Booked and released, and then got arrested.
And then got arrested right after getting booked and released.
That Vegas show. Shitty, huh?
Yeah.
I've only been to jail one time in my life. North Vegas. Yeah, right by the Golden Nugget.
Yeah.
I went to jail one time in my whole life, and it was that jail, and it sucked.
Yeah. But so anyhow, so they kept me down there for about a week.
Okay.
And then I got out, came home. And at that point, I was just like, man, I got to do something different.
Yeah.
I got to do something different. I didn't know what else was out there, but I tried everything, and dying wasn't working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, shit, I'm not going to die either. I might as well. There's only one way to go from here, and that's up.
Yeah.
And so I started talking to a couple different rehabs in town and ended up getting accepted to one of the rehabs. They couldn't get me in that day. I was supposed to go in the next day. Mm-hmm. The next morning I wake up, and my PO is at my door. I'm like, dude, I'm going to rehab. And he's like, what am I going to find? I was like, you're going to find a lot of stuff today, but I'm going to rehab today.
Right.
He arrested me and took me to jail. And so I went to jail, and I was in jail for charges down here and up in Salt Lake. So I kept on getting bussed back and forth from here to Salt Lake. And I'll tell you something that changed my life. So my last court date that I had to clear up, the judge in St. George agreed to let me go to rehab and drop everything if I went to rehab. The judge in Salt Lake was kind of on the fence. I'd gone back and forth to court a couple of times. Well, I got to the point where I got in my own head again. I was like, dude, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way I'm ever going to quit. I'm wasting everybody's time. And at that point, my lawyer was telling me, you got two options. You're either going to jail or you're going to prison this time, or you're going to rehab. And after going through the court process for a while, I went to the courtroom and they're like, all right, there's a rehab bed open for you, the same place you're planning on going. I was like, I changed my mind. I don't want to go. I want to go to prison. And I had a lawyer that was a family friend. And the judge says, take your client in the back room, talk to him for a second, make sure this is what he wants to do.
In other words, talk some sense into him.
Exactly.
Because that was
even
just
the
my
judge
attitude.
Is like,
that's what my attitude. I walked out there and I told the judge, I'm like, dude, I'm a lost cause. I'm not going to get clean. Just send me to prison and let's stop wasting everybody's time.
Yeah.
You know? So my lawyer pulled me back into the back room, and he's a really good dude. But he says to me, he says that he went through boot camp. He's a military guy.
Yeah.
And he says something that one of my instructors told me that stuck with me forever is if you never quit, you'll never fail. So for me, that meant if I never quit trying to get clean, eventually
it'll
I'm gonna fucking get clean.
Yeah.
And I did.
He did. Trev's been really good, man. I've seen a lot of guys have struggled in this area come in and sit in that office with us, and even some of my loved ones, right? And
there
was times where, you know, they're like, well, you know, I'm an addict, and I'm going to take it one day at a time. And they never stay clean with that mindset.
Nobody ever takes it a day at a time, though.
Yeah, and I remember Trev telling one of them, which was my loved one, my family member, he was like, bro, you got to close the fucking door. You're leaving it just a little open, man. You're just leaving that door a little bit open. And that's what I've noticed about both you guys over – well, Trev's been clean for years and years, but I've known him for years and years.
Right.
And I've known you for a good handful of years, too. You guys have closed that door. It's not an option.
No.
Right? It's
no.
just not an option to you. And that's what so many people struggle with. They get clean for a little while. Things are going good. Then, like you guys said, they think they can dabble. They just leave that door open just a little bit as opposed to just shutting it, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I think it's
make your past
your past.
Yeah,
it's amazing what you can do and what you can accomplish in a few years, 3 to 5 years, if you actually just close that damn door.
Absolutely.
How long has it been? Like 4 years or?
Four and a half, almost 5 years.
Almost 5 years?
Almost 5 years.
And so,
dude, holy shit.
Yeah, what a ride the last four or five years, right?
Good 4.5, good 5 years for sure. Yeah.
So I don't know if I told you this. Have I told you this? Huh. But when Trev introduced you to me at the gym.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he wants to come work for us, but I don't want him to give up where he's making some pretty good money to make about the same amount of money over there. I was like, dude, freaking get that guy in. Let's take him over to our tax sales. He can make a lot more money there. I could just tell, like, I saw that in you, your personality, your drive.
You remember the interview when I came in? I was sick as shit and lost my voice. And literally, all I could say, like, in the entire interview, I was super sick and lost my voice. But I'm like, I'm not passing up this opportunity.
Yeah.
So I come in, no voice. All I could say the whole interview is, when do I start?
Yeah.
So you guys are sitting there talking to me. You guys brought in Tyler. Tyler's talking to me, and I'm just sitting there listening.
Let's go.
All I could say is, when do I start?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes when you don't see it in yourself, other people do.
Right,
And Trev and I both were like, dude, that guy's got greatness in him.
Yeah.
That guy's got an enormous amount of potential. And we have different sales divisions here, as you know. Just didn't want to bring you to an entry-level sales division to grind the same grind and make the same amount of money. He wanted to bring you in with something a lot more potential. And that's why I was like, dude, get him in. We'll make room, even though we didn't really feel 100% ready. Because you never really feel 100% ready in business. You just got to force growth.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, that's another thing to really to focus or highlight is people have a lot more greatness in them than they see in themselves sometimes.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, I saw nothing in myself at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like coming from rock bottom, just trying to figure out your life, you know, and I knew that one, you exercised, right? You were taking fitness seriously, right? Those are the type of people that I look for. I pulled Kaysen from the gym and then he started working with us and now he's, you know, again, as we said earlier, top rep for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I knew he had a speckled past, but so did I.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, I already know if we can get him and he keeps a healthy life and has his routines and his habits that are clean and good, that he can be somebody. Right. I already knew that was the case. It was just a matter, will he stay clean? Will he commit to living a good and healthy life? And the whole reason why we wanted him on the podcast is not to just talk about, hey, he makes $250,000 a year. He's the, you know, making good money, probably more money than most entrepreneurs. The average entrepreneur makes like $70,000 a year.
You know, he's building his future. He's got different financial habits. He's got a wife and a family and a home, like things that you never would have thought that you would have, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So
that's the reason why I wanted to bring him on is just, it's more of an episode of hope, right? Mm-hmm. That if you're currently at a low place or in a crossroads in your life and things just don't look good right now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it won't look good later, right? And
Absolutely. And
you have to just make that switch and you've got to commit to just doing more and doing better things, creating better habits, hanging out with better people. And when you start removing the negative people from your life and you create those healthy habits and you get laser focused, a lot can change in 3 to 5 years.
Dude, and to be honest with you, people talk about that so much as far as like, look at the closest 5 people around you.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, pick those 5 fucking people. Like your life depends on it. Take that shit seriously, you know.
Because your life kind of does depend on it.
100% you know? It does, dude.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, too, is like those 5 people are going to change.
Yeah.
Because
They'll morph, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a reason why they say it's lonely at the top.
Yeah.
You know, for as much as I've gained on this journey over the last 5 years, I've lost just as much as far as relationships go. Because you get to a point where... You don't
got time for bullshit.
You're growing. You don't have time for bullshit.
Yeah.
You don't have time for negativity.
Yeah.
You get to a point where you have to stop believing your own excuses and you get sick of hearing other people's too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you start growing and you start outgrowing the people that are around you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that dude that was one of your best buds is now talking shit on you.
Yeah.
And really, like, it's because he's jealous of what you're doing, right?
Oh, he thinks he's so cool. He's making all this money. Like, they just start, they have to do that to justify where they're at almost.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you're there, you know, you're an egotistical, oh, it's just about money. No, it's about the fact that he had a childhood that he didn't want his children to have.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, like, if I have to remove everybody from my life to give my kids the best opportunity at a wonderful life and having great memories, if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. Peace. See you the fuck later.
Absolutely.
I'm going to fucking focus on me. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to grind. And I'm going to give my family something that I've never even had. Something that I couldn't have ever even dreamed of.
It's your first sign that you're... doing the right thing, man. Absolutely. Yeah. You start getting them friends, those old homies talking shit. That's the first signal.
Dude, I love it, dude. I love it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the low. Okay, drug addict, bad credit. Obviously, you're not paying any fucking bills.
Just so you guys know, people talk about credit going down to, what, 350?
Yeah.
There is a credit score lower than that. Trevor discovered it when he met me.
Yeah.
It's not 350. It's just two lines.
Yeah. It was so low that they didn't even calculate it. It was the first time that I had ever seen that.
Yeah.
And so when Casey started working with us, with anybody that works with us, you know, this is what we do. We try to figure out, you know, their pain points, what are they struggling with, and how can we help? Right. Is there some way that we can help? You know, it got to the point where you were still a new sales rep for us. Hey, I want to fix my credit. So we pulled a copy of his credit report. We took a look at it, and I was like, good God, okay, here we go.
Yeah, first thing you wanted to get was a new car, dude. You know? Yeah. I remember you took me to lunch in the, what was it?
Dude, so
it was an Infiniti.
$1,200 Volvo XC90 with no AC that I had to replace the wheels like every 3 weeks because they were all messed up and it would shred through tires.
Yeah.
But hey, you were grateful for it.
Dude, it was a set of wheels.
Well, you took me to lunch
in it. I bought that on my own, man.
It was pretty rough.
I remember when he bought it. He's like, yeah, I bought a new car. I was like, that's the new car?
By the way, my wife.
Yeah.
When I took my wife on our first date, she rode in that car.
Oh, that's how you know
she wanted
down.
To stick around, so she's a keeper.
Yeah. Now you got two brand new whips sitting out front, you know, so no old Volvos anymore.
That's right.
You know, that's one thing that we try to take pride in is adding additional value to the people that we work around. Because we want them to live a good life as well.
Well, like, it's just giving to them. You know, you want to create loyalty in people. You want to create good culture. I mean, you got to give too. Like, you know, you're here giving your time to earn a paycheck. But if we can give to you, you're going to give more back to the company as well. And
it's a two-way street.
And so Trevor's been really good at that. We've been really good at that as a company. Like, man, we want to see people level up. We don't want them to.
100%.
We don't want to just look at them like an employee that's here to make us money, you know.
For sure.
You guys are
we've helped people buy cars. Yeah. We've helped people buy houses. Mm-hmm. We've helped people just with their personal credit.
When we sat down and looked at my credit, you literally pulled out your checkbook and said you were going to pay every bit of it off.
Yeah.
And I said, I got the money. I'll take care of it. Yeah. But the fact, like, you weren't messing around. You pulled out your checkbook, your personal checkbook. You're like, I'm just going to write you a check and go pay it off.
Yeah.
So, you guys definitely care. Yeah. And change lives for sure.
So, was there a period of time where you didn't have a home? Were you homeless for a minute, or what was the situation there?
Yeah, so, and there's two stages of homelessness, by the way.
I need to know both stages then.
Yeah, so definitely I was homeless. The first stage of homelessness is like where you're couch surfing.
Yeah.
I skipped that phase. I went straight to phase two.
Phase two.
Because when you're couch surfing, you got to share your drugs with the people you're sleeping on their couch. And I wasn't about to do that. So phase two homelessness is what I experienced for over a year.
Yeah.
I pushed a cart in downtown Salt Lake City at Pioneer Park. That's where I lived. And
lived the good life, huh?
That was life.
I heard that. That's just the best place, right? Dude, for homeless people.
It's incredible.
I'll bet you have some wild stories from old Pioneer Park.
I've seen some shit, to say the least.
I've seen some shit just driving by.
When you hang out in sketchy areas, you'll see shit. Yeah. When you live in sketchy areas.
Yeah, Utah's not as innocent as everyone thinks. Yeah. There's some
dark parts.
For real.
So I just wanted to highlight Kaysen's just his ability to overcome, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. Bad credit, he now has great credit. Drug addict, he's no longer a drug addict. He was homeless. Mm-hmm. Now he lives in a beautiful, nice house, right? Mm-hmm. Probably a home that maybe you couldn't have dreamed of, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
I'll put it to you this way. Sometimes my neighbors see me with all my tattoos, like the new people moving in, and I get that look like, how the hell does that dude live here?
Yeah, how did he get in the neighborhood?
How does he live here?
Yeah. He's gone always. What is he doing, running drugs or what? You know, what's his deal?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's just been able to turn his life around, right? And so, you know, this individual turned his life around based upon, you know, no longer accepting his excuses, his internal excuses, having great routines, changing the habits, you know, his daily habits. You know, you're up every morning what time?
5:45
every single morning. You know, when I go to the same gym as him, you know, we see each other at 6:30 or whatever. And, you know, sometimes if I roll in at 7, Kaysen's standing there staring at his wrist. He doesn't have a watch on. He's just saying, what the fuck?
You got a nice watch, though.
Last year, he ended up getting a nice little Rolex for being the top sales rep. So, You definitely sport that with pride. It's absolutely more than
first
just
member
a value.
Of our Millionaires Club, man.
Yeah, that's right. So, that watch means the world to me.
Yeah, you couldn't even open it when we gave it to you. You were shaking so bad. I just took the
we
watch.
We got it on video.
I took the watch from him and I opened it, and you know he couldn't even speak or
I wanted
hold
that.
The damn thing.
I wanted that so fucking bad.
Yeah,
you know. So, kind of to touch on what you're saying, overcoming shit. At the end of the day. Fuck your excuses. If you're listening to this podcast right now and you have excuses, I highly recommend that you start to catch yourself in those excuses. And the other thing I highly recommend is find your why.
Yep.
And if you don't have your why yet, figure out what you want your why to be and then start designing your life around going and getting that why. Mm-hmm. For me, it's my family.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed, man, is you're very goal-driven. I'm very goal-driven too. Like when I write my goals down, it's not just shit that I put on my paper and hope for. It's shit that I am committed to 100%. And that's what you've been too, man. I've noticed that. And when we go over our goals the first of the year, this year, you know, we obviously did that. We did our goals with all of our sales, our top sales guys, our sales leaders like you. And we evaluated everyone's goals together. And you take it very seriously. And this was before Corona. We did it in January, and then this whole coronavirus shit hits in February, right? So there's a lot of excuses people could come up with for this year, but dude, you're still a top sales guy. You're out doing what you did last year. You're very committed to your goals.
To be honest, I could have told you in January I was going to be the top sales guy.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what it takes, man. When you make up your mind, you do whatever it takes. If it takes
working on Saturdays,
working seven days a week to make sure you're top sales guy. Yeah. If your mind's already made up that it's going to be you, you'll do whatever it takes to make sure that
it makes
it
easier to make some of the tougher decisions, like coming in on Sunday and calling and trying to close deals, or coming in on Saturday, right? Because you've committed to a goal. Therefore, if this is what it takes to get there, it's going to be easier when you have something that you're working towards to sacrifice towards that goal. If you don't have a goal and you're not trying to accomplish anything and somebody says, hey, come in on Saturday or come in on Sunday, you're like, I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that because there's no target set. There's no reason for them to do that.
For sure.
It's easier to make the tough decisions or choices when you set a goal that you're trying to work towards.
When your mind's made up, dude, it just becomes second nature. You just do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You just
exactly.
Do it.
Dude, when I worked at the tax company that I worked for years ago, before we started our own, I wanted it too. I was like, you know what? I came in like halfway through the year, so obviously, you know, I had a bigger mountain to climb to catch the guys that were there, and I didn't know that there was even like an accolade or award or whatever. And so when the Christmas party rolled around and this guy got all the recognition and the plaque and the cash and all that, I was like, I'm getting that next year. And we didn't have sales trackers back then. But I tracked everybody's numbers myself so that every week I knew what I had to do to beat them every single week so that there wasn't even a close race because I was going to get it next year.
Yeah, if you,
you know, and that's just how I was. And I noticed that's kind of how you are too. You're like, you're watching everybody else. You're like, I'm going to beat you.
If you go open up my top drawer at my desk, there's a little sticky note and it has a number written on it.
Yeah.
And that number that's written on it is the number between where I'm at and the next closest guy to me.
Just spreading that gap.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Just a healthy gap.
Yeah.
You know, a healthy couple $100,000 gap.
Yeah. I don't want to win by a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave it up to question.
No.
Right?
Be head and shoulders. Knockout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And there's some great guys. And we got great crew down there. Guys and gals. We have phenomenal salespeople.
Best freaking crew.
Yeah.
Best crew.
Best.
But doesn't mean you can't want to beat them.
Undisputed.
You know? You want to run through that.
It should be healthy competition.
Yeah.
That is a good culture to me.
It is like I'm not sitting there when the next closest guy to me goes and boards a deal and he's like
upset
about it, fuck this dude or man listen to his call, I hope he doesn't get that deal. I want everybody to win. I want everybody to win.
And when you're dominating somebody and you are spreading that gap, you're actually doing your part in bringing the best out of
absolutely that. At the end of the day, make no mistake, this is a competition. These are all my boys and girl. But
Kat, what's up, Kat?
I haven't forgot about you.
She's another one.
Yeah,
see greatness in.
At the end of the day, like, we're all a family over there.
Yeah,
we vibe really well, and I want everybody there to win. Mm-hmm. But it is a competition, and if it's a competition, I'm very competitive and I want to win.
Yeah,
such a good trait to have.
Yeah. Well, somebody has to set the bar,
right?
Somebody's got to set the bar, right? And if nobody's really trying to set the bar and have that type of mentality, then you can have a bunch of mediocre salespeople.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Somebody's got to show what's actually possible when you honor your commitment, saying, I'm going to be the top. you know, what does it take to be the top? They see you coming in on Saturdays. They see you working on some Sundays, right? Some people just aren't willing to give the sacrifice that it takes in order to level up. That's just the truth. Everybody wants to make $200,000 or $300,000 a year, but nobody wants to work on Saturdays or Sundays. Nobody wants to take their weekends and give it to your goal. They want to give it to themselves and relax. Right. The fact is, the world lives in a big comfort zone bubble. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth. Everybody's seeking comfort. They're taking the easy way out. 9 out of 10 people will take the easy way out. Should I get off the couch and hit the gym? Everybody knows that they should, but there's only going to be 1 out of 10 people when they don't feel like doing it, still getting up and getting it done.
You know, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life, and I think both of you can relate because I know more about your backstories as well, but the best thing that ever happened to me is there was nothing about my childhood growing up that was consistent, normal, or
there was no comfort.
I lived in chaos my whole life.
Yes.
And so that whole comfort zone thing, I don't have it.
Yeah.
If I get caught in a comfort zone, I'm more uncomfortable in that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Than when I'm just constantly chasing new things, constantly pushing myself towards uncomfortable
situations.
Well,
you even said, like, hey, I perform better when we're busier.
Yep. I do.
You know,
100%.
Like, stack me up, give me tons of appointments. 100%. Like, I want to get into my flow and get into my rhythm. But only top performers understand that.
Yeah.
Busy is good.
I don't want to have time to stop and think about shit.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to go boom, 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 close deal.
Exactly. Exactly. Just so you guys know, we invest into entrepreneurship groups, as you guys are all aware of. We've talked about that many times on the podcast. So what do? Is we take information, we bring it back to our sales teams. And Kaysen's an individual that's just always looking to level up, always trying to grow in whatever specific area. If there's a challenge, he's going to accept it. You've done 75 hard once, twice. I don't even know how
doing
many times.
Right now.
You're on 75 hard right now, right? So he hears something that he knows that can make him better, and he just commits to it and then does it, right? In our Monday morning meetings, we talk about, hey, guys, be smart. Money comes, money goes. Make sure that you're living beneath your means, stack cash, invest into your future. Now, this is a thing that most, you know, business owners aren't going to preach to their sales team, because we've talked about this before. When we grew up in sales and making money in sales, they're like, spend, spend, spend.
That's every team I've ever been on before I came here.
Have a high lifestyle, because they want
you to match yourself out, so you have to work.
That you have to perform.
Right.
Right. And when you have reasons to perform, like large amounts of debt, then it's going to force you to perform.
Right.
We do it differently. We focus more so on mindset of the individual, but also making sure that they have the right mindset. Even if they don't have a high lifestyle and have to perform, we want to make them want to perform, for the point of remembering that we're all here making this sacrifice so that in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, we can be in a position that other people could only dream of,
right?
And we try to relay that message to our sales team, because they all make really good money, you know?
And the people
they're all making six figures.
The people that rise up and want to put in the work and do the work necessary are going to be a part of this journey with us. They're not just employees until they're not. Like, right before we started this podcast, Kaysen's like, dude, when you guys start doing events, I want to get up and speak. Like, I want to be a part of it. You know, we've looked at investment deals together not too long ago. He's like, I want in, you know, like, and that's what we want too.
We want to level up the people around us, because they're around us.
Right? Some business owners would be like, nah, man, if he starts making money in these investments with us, he's not going to produce at work, or he's not going to want to, you know, do his role down there anymore. And then we're going to have to replace a top sales guy. We don't think like that.
Yeah.
There will always be a guy that will, the cream rises to the top kind of a thing. But dude, that's your engine. And you're just like, I want to invest it. I want to be a part of something great. And that's what real winners do, man. Like right before the podcast, you saying that. Last year we talked about it too, when we were pitching our accounting stuff to other people's seminars. You were like, dude, I want to get on stage. I'm like, let's do it, man. Like, I'll bring you the next one. You can watch my speech. And I hope that when you start doing it, you get up and beat my ass. And then it's going to push me to step my game up and close more people in the audience or whatever it is, you know. And I remember we talked about that last year. And it is kind of a bummer that events got squashed so hard this last
year. They'll be back. And I'll still be ready.
I can't remember what my goal was now. I think I wanted to get on 12 stages.
Yours was 12 and mine was 6 this year.
Yeah, I wanted to get on 12, and I had some goals as far as what I wanted to hit. And every other goal that I have on my sheet is like literally right there. Like I'm right at all my goals here at the end of the year, except that one. Yeah. So next year, man, we're gonna have to go crush them. Stuff together.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So, I mean, so when we talk about investing this at the other, Kaysen, basically, we say it, he does it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's great about him is, one, he's a high performer, but he's just there to soak up information and just learn, continue to grow. He's not too high on the hog of his ego or this, that, the other because he's doing well. He's always trying to, again, learn and improve. And so when we're talking about investing, you know, take your money, invest it. You know, start spending it before it just you spend it on something dumb. Spend it on a piece of property or whatever it is. And he came to us. He's like, yeah, I'm looking at buying rental properties and this, that, the other. Like, this is two lessons. One, the lesson of the ability to overcome. And secondly, another lesson, when money starts coming in, make sure that you're putting yourself in a position to win long term, because money can dry up at any moment. Let's just be real. Let's just call a spade a spade. Right. You might go on a 5-year run or a 10-year tear and make a lot of money. You're living high on the hog. It dries up and goes away. You've just absolutely crushed the last decade, but have zero to show for it. You don't ever know what's around the corner. You never know what's going to happen, but what are you doing about it right now to be on the offense to protect you from any unforeseen scenarios? And Kaysen takes a page out of our book in terms of us saying, hey, do this, do this. He just does it, you know, and that's what's different. Most people just shake their head, for sure. And then there's the people that actually take action. Like, this is what I want to do.
Not only do you take it and do it, but he's also constantly looking for ways on his own to get to the next level or to hone his skill set. Like, just in our Monday morning meeting a few weeks ago, I was really impressed by this. I was like, okay, we talked about something. I can't remember what it was, but somehow it got brought up being on time for your appointments. And you were like, no, I disagree. I came up with this new angle, and it's been working really well. Yeah, I call the customer 5 minutes late on purpose. Yeah. Tell them what you do.
So I'll call people anywhere from about 3 to 5 minutes late. Because 3 to 5 minutes late, I mean, if somebody gets mad about that, chances are it's not going to happen.
Right.
But that allows me to start off the phone call with, hey, I owe you lunch today.
Yeah.
You guys have Uber Eats in your area? Or, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm running a little bit behind today. Is this still a good time for you? But where I start out the conversation with an apology to them, hey, I'm sending you lunch. I'm really sorry about this. And they can feel that I am sorry about it. It disarms them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I mean, we sell over the phone. And so we lose about 90% of communication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got to figure out new little tricks to disarm people. And
yeah, well, I like about it is we live in an age now where you really can't send them Uber Eats. Like, man, I got lunch on
and
the way.
And I will.
No, please,
I have
let
done
me
it.
Do this for
I
you.
I have done it.
And yeah, you've sent them lunch. And like, dang, this guy's really.
I've done it when I haven't closed the deal. Yeah. And then close the deal because I sent them lunch. Call them back just to make sure they got it.
And that's just something most
people
wouldn't
think of, right?
That's
the way you follow up with them, make sure they got their lunch.
That's not something a closer over the phone would really think of. Like, they wouldn't think of something like that typically.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, I'm going to call this one a hair late just so I can buy them lunch, disarm them, you know, start building that rapport right off the bat and get those deals done. So I think it's cool. You're looking for ways to do something other people really aren't willing to do to up your game.
So I'm still that same dude 5 years ago that had a needle in his arm.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. I had a $400 a day dope habit. And you got to be extremely resourceful. And so when certain things aren't working, I need to get that edge. I'm like, dude, what's everybody else doing? All right, I'm going to do something just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just a little bit different to switch it up.
I like it. Going against the grain, baby.
That's the thing is I think people stop doing different things.
Right.
They stop trying new things, right? They
get comfortable.
Find their way of doing things.
You get comfortable.
And then, and then they just are like, well, this is the way that I do it.
Yeah.
And they stop testing.
Yeah.
You know, you guys should always be having a lab coat on and always be testing new ways that you can make your business grow or new ways as a sales rep to increase your numbers. Like, always continue the way that you're doing it right now. If there's somebody else outperforming you, which there's always somebody in the world that's probably outperforming you, you can't say I'm 100% the best of the best of the best. There's always somebody bigger, faster, stronger, right? And so there's always little tweaks, little pivots, little changes that you can make in your business, in your personal life, as a salesperson. It doesn't necessarily matter. This concept is universal. But just don't get comfortable doing the same thing over and over and over to the point where you're just now mediocre. You live in that comfort zone, right? So let me ask you this. You know, obviously your life is night and day difference.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I can just say a lot to you guys.
Yeah. we're proud of you, and you know, we're honored to have you a part of our team, dude. You're an absolute leader. You're an absolute kind-hearted. It doesn't look that way from the outside, you know, with the big beard and big arms, and you know, and the arms weren't that big 5 years ago. there's a before picture.
Maybe when they were swollen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's a before pic where he's just completely unrecognizable. Yeah. You know, it looks like the guy from the Bitter Beer Face commercials back in the day. I don't know if anybody remembers those, but
I didn't have much weight on me back then.
Yeah, not at all. But you know, if somebody's in a low place right now and they just feel like that they're going to accept life right now as their current reality forever, what would you say to an individual like that? Like, what would be the message to maybe try to?
One of the hardest things you'll ever do is ask for help, especially when you're beaten up. Mm. And I think the best thing you can do is go find somebody that has what you want or is on their way to getting what you want and ask them for help. Finding that mentor, finding, you know, I found you and we found each other.
Yeah.
You guys are a huge part of my journey, huge part. You guys, Tyler, my wife, which I found through here too. She was our
office cleaner. She doesn't clean offices anymore, though. We gave Case in his life. Good credit, money, a wife. Yeah. You know.
She don't clean offices
anymore. He made the kid himself, with her, all of that.
I say go out. Well, first thing, you got to decide what you want.
Yeah.
You got to have some sort of direction. Figure out what it is that you want in life. Figure out what your why is. And if you already have it, start living for that why and making your life better for that why. If you don't have it, figure out what it's going to take to get there. And then tackle everything one step at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a 2-bar credit score when I started here, 9 years of taxes that hadn't been returned, hadn't been filed.
Yeah.
And I can remember.
It feels overwhelming.
Literally.
Like, that's what I want to highlight too, is when you're in a bad situation and you're committed to get out of a bad situation, I want you to understand the overwhelming feeling that you're going to have, that you're just, there's going to be no end in sight. That's just what it feels like. You're just like, I've dug myself such a deep hole that this is just an impossibility. There's no, like, I remember coming out using drugs and then reality sets in. All the damage that you did, all the debt that you have. I had 5 years past back taxes that I had to get done. I owed 30 G's in back taxes, credit cards,
How many times did you sit there withdrawing, thinking to yourself, man, if I get out of these withdrawals, I'll never be able to clean this other shit up.
Dude, it just...
But you can.
It feels like that you can't. I remember seeing the amount that I owed in back taxes, and I was like, dude, there's no, it's going to take me forever to pay off $30,000 in back taxes. Like, how am I going to do this? Like,
you figure it out.
And you just, but that's why people have heard me say, driving a $3,000 Mitsubishi Lancer while I was making 120, 130 grand a year. Part of the reason why is because I had so much shit from my past that was still with me that I wanted my past to be my past. And that kind of haunts you a little bit where you're just keep paying these debts and this and that for past bad decisions, and it haunts you for years and years and years, but eventually you overcome it. You
can get through it quick, because I was the same situation as you. Started here with a ton of stuff in collections, back taxes, all that crap. Looking back on it now, you know, I was making six figures here, right? I started out making six figures, and I was renting a room for $350 a month driving a $1,200 Volvo.
Yeah.
Shitting my pants on what my now wife was going to think when I picked her up for our date in my $1,200 Volvo, because I wanted to be able to get her door for her. And sometimes the door locks didn't work. I'm like, I called the Volvo Trixie, my little black Trixie. I'm like, Trixie, you got to come through for me tonight. She didn't come through.
I had to crawl over and get it.
Yeah, I did. But anyhow, damn. So looking back on that, I, by just renting that room, driving that Volvo, I was able to clean up just like you did all of that stuff so fast.
But I think that when you finally flipped the switch, you were like super commit, like, let's just get it done. Because you were trying to tackle a lot at one time. Like, you're wanting to fix your credit. You're wanting to get out of debt. You were committed to the change.
He had one speed, which was go.
Yeah. That time I spent renting that little room and driving that Volvo is some of the best memories I have for my entire life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think people forget to appreciate the struggle, yeah. Dude, when you look back on it now, everything I have today wouldn't be shit if I didn't go
make
through that struggle to get there. Yeah, wouldn't it be shit?
And it's also,
if it came easy,
more meaningful.
Yeah, if it came easy, right? It wouldn't be shit.
Like, yeah, if somebody handed you $1 million, you could easily blow it because there's not as much value in the $1 million. But if you had to work your way out of the slums and then make sacrifices to get to the point of having $1 million, those are two totally different mindsets, and it's still the same $1 million. Right. One is, you know, you value it, and the other one, you're probably going to blow it. I've had friends personally that have had money handed to them because of a family member passing or whatever it is, like insurance money, life insurance money, mm-hmm. and I've watched several people just blow through it because it was money that was just given to them.
Which is their learning experience. Yeah. You know, like going back to our upbringings, we all did live in this chaos. We didn't have comfort like some other kids. And, you know, I actually had a really big shifting moment going through all the therapy and the divorces and all that shit. And I heard it actually not through my therapist. I heard it from Tony Robbins. It was like, you know, if you're going to blame all your parents for all your shit, you better be willing to thank them too.
For sure.
You know, and it's our struggle might be different than a lot of other people listening. If you were an entitled little shit that had everything handed to you and all you know is comfort, that's your struggle. You just got to make that huge commitment to overcoming it to actually earning what's yours in this world.
I'd probably be a little bitch if I grew up rich. I'm going to be honest. That would be your struggle.
Yeah, like, you would have to overcome that to really feel validated worth something in this world.
Yeah, I'm grateful for my dark past.
Me too.
I'm grateful for sure.
We were blessed in the shit that we had to go through to create the people that we are today. But so do the people that had a little cushier. It's just a different struggle.
Yeah.
You guys ever get nervous? To overcome.
You guys ever get nervous looking at your kids? You're like,
oh, yeah.
Because I am so, so grateful for the upbringing that I had, not having shit, not having any type of security or consistency. I mean, dude, we were moving to different houses because we get foreclosed on or evicted, literally sometimes a couple times a year basis.
Right.
I was homeless as a kid at one point.
We want to reward them
by giving them what we didn't have, which is still really for us.
But
at the end of the day,
it's so important to me.
It's almost like we're living our own fantasy, but are we destroying our kids?
Exactly. Because I'm like, damn, my kids got it so good.
He's rolling on his dirt bike. You're like, man, I would love to have a dirt bike.
My kids got two.
Yeah.
Two dirt bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and he just started riding 6 months ago.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's awesome. But, it's awesome to give him that.
Like with my boys, like I don't want to raise boys. I want to raise men.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I had the coolest experience because I can take what I do now because my boy, he sees me make sacrifices.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's times where, you know, where we've had a family trip planned down to Vegas for like Friday night. Hey, babe, as soon as I get home, we're leaving. We've told the kids about it for 2 weeks. We're going to go down there and just do whatever, have a great time. And I've had to call my wife at 7:30 on a Friday night. Hey, is everybody packed? Yeah, we're all packed. Okay, we're going to have to go ahead and unpack, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's money on the table and I got to work this weekend. And my boy sees me make those sacrifices. And so I always make sure to sit down and have that conversation with them. The reason that you have these dirt bikes is because I make these sacrifices and one day you're gonna have to do it for your family too.
Mm. Yeah.
But I had a really cool experience the other day. My boy, he's always, you know, like with his dirt bike, I'm like, dude, I'll buy you the dirt bike, but you gotta buy your own gear and you can't ride it until you have gear.
Yeah.
And so there was a time probably, we're still in our old house, so gosh, at least 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he wanted, but I'm like, yeah, you can buy it. You can buy whatever the hell you want, but you got to make the money first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were going through different ideas about what he could do to make money. And I'm like, listen, I believe in sales. I'm a salesman. I believe in sales.
Yeah.
Use leverage to your advantage because that's how you sell. And I'm like, right now, if you and I both went and knocked on every door in this neighborhood selling cookies, I'm a great salesman. You'd outsell the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because your leverage is the fact that
you're young and you're a kid.
People see you out knocking doors trying to make your own money to buy something
and
they respect that hustle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't even drive past the lemonade stand with cash in my car and not stop
because
I respect that hustle so much, you know? And so I'm like, that's your leverage right there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, go start knocking doors. That's how I got into sales, was knocking doors.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was into cars a little bit before that, but then I got into knocking doors. But I told him he was going to go make cookies and sell cookies. And he wanted to sell a tray of cookies for like $20, $30. And I'm like, dude, I respect the shit out of that. But you need to remember one
thing. He's trying to buy that gear quick.
He's trying to swallow the whole elephant at once.
I was like, those better be some pretty damn good cookies. And people are probably going to pay it.
Yeah.
But you got to understand one thing. I says, what you need to understand is this ain't the last thing you're going to want to buy, which means this probably won't be the last time you're going to want to knock on one of those neighbor's doors and sell them something. And I says, I'm going to teach you something right now. And I says, you always want to be fair in business because, I says, you can shear a sheep 1,000 times, but you can only skin it once.
Right.
Okay, so this is 2-3 years ago, easy. The other night, I'm working on my boy's dirt bike with him in the garage, and he was wanting to make money. Him and his buddies went out, and they were just selling, like, candy bars and sodas and stuff like that on the street. Little entrepreneurs, little hustlers, dude. Proud of them. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super proud of them, right? But one of his buddies wanted to sell the sodas for like $5. And he's like, man, Kaysen, he's my stepson. He calls me Kaysen, but he's my boy. I don't miss anything.
Yeah.
He's like, Kaysen, I just remember what you told me a couple years ago. And I couldn't believe he still remembered this. Like, I didn't even know what he was talking about. I'm like, really? What did I tell you? He says,
you're like, I want the lesson.
Yeah. I need to hear this again because I don't remember. Yeah. But he says, I told my buddy that you can shear a sheep 1,000 times, but you can only skin it once, and we're probably going to want to sell these people again. And that right there was like
proud moment.
Such a proud moment. That's my why right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so
it's important to, you know, one, if you're doing well financially and you're spoiling your kids a little bit, it's good to have some of those conversations with them and let them know what it takes to have what they have, and have the conversations about other kids being underprivileged or, you know, whatever it is. And they can't just have things given to them over and over and over, because then they're going to expect life to just give them opportunities. Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why we are where we are in you know, 2020. And a lot of people have literally on
2021.
No, it's December, I think, 30th.
Is it really?
So, yeah, we're still 2020. So, so we're finishing out the year with a bang.
It's a good New Year's podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's just important to let them know, just as you talked about, it's okay to, you know, so my daughter Claire wanted a little beach cruiser. It was $100. And I said, earn $25, I'll pay for the other $75.
Right.
Let them understand that they have to put in a little bit of work. Make them sacrifice something. Now, if it's not, you know, selling cookies or this, make them do something around the house for X period of time. At least that's teaching them you must do prior to you receiving.
Sure.
And try to drive in those lessons to the kids at a young age. There's nothing for free. So it always costs something, whether it's your time, your money, you know, whatever it is. But these lessons are very important because our future depends on it. You know, there's a reason why that the world is a big victim mentality situation, because things aren't given to them in a way that they want it to be given to them. So they complain, fuss, throw tantrums about their current situation rather than taking ownership of it and putting in the work and changing it. You could have easily continued to be a drug addict, continued not to face your problems. Once you owned up to it and you were willing to put in the work, that's when everything changed. I think it's just important to highlight that nothing is just given to anybody. You've got to go out there and take it. Case has done a wonderful job of just saying, wow, here's an opportunity. And he fucking took the bull by the horns and he owned the position. He owned the opportunity. He owned his personal financial situation, whether it's through his credit, whether it's through saving money, whether it's through investing. Every so often, Casey's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about buying this. Do you think that's a good idea? Should I buy this car? And then he's like, you know, you're good with money or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, man, just it's okay to live a little bit. It's okay to, you know, you sacrifice a lot. You put in the work. It's okay to have some things.
You know what
but
I did,
don't
though.
Go overboard.
You know what I did, though? So I've wanted a freaking Can-Am forever, right? And when this whole 2020
You came and looked at my Razor.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You're a big body in that thing. It was the shocks were you know? But ready for you.
When this whole COVID thing hit, I'm like, dude, my family and I we would spend a lot of time like just doing little weekend trips down to Vegas or up to Salt Lake or down to that in Newport Beach is one of our favorites.
That's where I'm headed this week, bro.
I freaking love it. Down there. Love spending time with my family, dude, and making memories.
Yeah.
And so when COVID hit and everything got shut down, I was like, dude, we got to switch things up. Mm-hmm. And COVID's been one of the best freaking thing that's happened to me, dude, because we realized all sorts of cool new shit that we like. But like, I've been wanting this Can-Am forever. I bought some dirt bikes and wanted something that my wife and my daughters could follow me around in, me and my boys on our dirt bikes. And instead of buying the Can-Am, I bought two rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
And now...
That's not an easy decision, dude.
No.
It's not an easy decision. The properties you can't have fun with right now.
Yeah.
You can't even go to them. I went and bought two rental properties, cash flow, and I was like, I'm just gonna freaking, you know, take the cash flow from the rental property to pay my Can-Am payment.
Yeah.
And then I bought the rental properties. I'm like, dude, I don't even want a Can-Am payment. So I just kept on saving.
Yeah.
And I got the Can-Am now, but I got the rental properties too. But it's that mindset of something that I fully believe is you can have what you want in life right now. Anybody can.
Yeah.
But you can also wait and have something a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always a price you pay.
Right.
Okay. So yes, you can have what you want right now.
Right.
But the price that you're paying is you're taking away from your future.
Yep.
Your future self is not thanking you because you're overly spending and taking care of yourself today.
Right.
Right. So yes, you can have today, but you're sacrificing tomorrow. Or you can have the sacrifice of today to have more tomorrow. No matter what, there's going to be a sacrifice that's going to be made, whether you're in the spending mode today or saving mode today.
Right.
Saving mode, you're sacrificing all the things that you could have today so that you can live a better tomorrow. Again, there's that concept. Once people understand, no matter what decision that they make, there's always a give and take. If I give myself the luxury of having a brand new Can-Am today, then I'm taking away from my potential to, you know, be retired by the time I'm 45 or 50 or whatever. I don't think I'll ever
opportunity
retire.
Opportunity has a way of finding money. And what happens when a week after you freaking bought that Can-Am, somebody calls you with an opportunity?
Yeah. Says, hey, man, you can invest 30 grand here or 40 grand here or whatever that can cash flow you a couple bucks.
Right.
So there's two types of thinkers. There's the today thinker and the tomorrow thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And the tomorrow thinkers are the ones that in 5 years, everyone's like, man, he's so lucky or she's so lucky, man. No.
But nobody wants to take a look at and give credit for the 5 years of sacrifice.
Yeah. You know, while you were in the office on Saturday or Sunday, they were at the lake enjoying their new boats.
Exactly.
Or on their Can-Ams at the lake or whatever it is.
Right.
They didn't see the sacrifice, so that you're now just considered lucky. If they actually saw the sacrifice, then they'd be like, holy shit, he put in the work. He deserves 100% of what he has. Respect. I'm not willing to do that, but good for you.
And I'm just fine with people thinking I'm lucky.
Yeah,
I really am.
True.
Keep on thinking that, because I'm going to look a whole lot better as I keep on winning.
You're going to continue to get luckier and luckier as the days go on.
That he's lucky, she's lucky mentality is exactly why people stay average and stay the same.
Exactly. Instead of looking at the sacrifice that was made in order to gain and say, okay, that's what he did. So if I do that exact same thing, then I can have those same things.
It's and some people don't want it bad enough, to be honest. Some people don't, and that's just fine.
Not everybody has the same goals.
Exactly.
Dude. Like, we're not over here preaching like everybody, you have to. It's just about being smart.
Well,
like make the right decisions.
A lot of people just don't spend the time in the future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't. And sometimes they're told not to, you know, like you need to be present. You need to live in the now. And I've actually written this down as one of our podcast topics to talk about in the future. But dude, there's a lot of value in spending time in the future, developing a clear vision of what that is so that you can make the sacrifices now. People want to do that. They want the boat right now. Well, you could have your own private lake with whatever boat you want on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Multiple of them, one for each kid in the family. You know what I mean? So it's very important for people to spend time in the future and develop the vision that they really want.
I agree.
And you know it, you kind of know, you're like, you figured out what my why is, and you spend time in the future of what can I sacrifice now to create the security for all of us in the future. Okay, I'll buy properties now instead of the Can-Am. I'll get that after I get my cash flowing properties.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's a lot of value in spending a little time in the future developing that vision.
I also want to highlight just the fact of chasing your full potential. So, I mean, we might not even be having this conversation today if Kaysen didn't chase his full potential.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Kaysen could still be at the park pushing a car with a bunch of shit in it, accepting his situation as his current reality forever. So the whole purpose is whatever you're going through today is not your next year's reality or the following year's reality. Like, let's create a little bit broader of a picture, because when you're going through the shit, you're in the shit and it, you can't even see past it. And it just feels like that's your life. Right. Like there's nothing outside of the shit. Like you're just living in misery. It just is what it is.
Right.
Everybody else that has money is lucky. No, they honored a commitment to themselves in chasing their full potential. So your life could have turned out completely different if you didn't honor what your full potential was. If you never had chased that, we wouldn't be sitting in this conference room right now. You could be sitting on a park bench or you could be sitting 6 feet fucking deep pushing up daisies and shit. That's just
that,
the truth.
At that point, I was on that park bench. There was only one difference between me and a squirrel.
You had two nuts and they only had one?
No, the squirrel the squirrel could bury his nut and save it for the next morning. I couldn't.
Exactly.
Like you're saying, shit's constantly changing, right? And when you're in the middle, especially when you're going through a dark time, and everybody's gone through dark times. Like if you're out there thinking you're the only person in your situation, I promise you, you're not.
Yeah, no.
I promise you, you're not.
Right.
And that you're the only person that's going to have to overcome so much, I promise you, you're not.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when you've got all that fog in front of you, it's hard to stop and think for a second. Shit's always changing.
Mm-hmm.
Why not put yourself in a position where shit starts to change in your favor?
Yeah, right. In a positive way.
Right.
In a positive way. Right. Everybody knows what the right decision is. Like an addict, they know that they should quit. They know that that's the right thing to do. It's just fucking difficult. It is. Like I'll give them credit, but it's not impossible.
Right.
So that's why I won't accept any excuse outside of the fact that when you're ready to commit, there's a completely different life waiting for you.
Yeah, no one's gonna come and save
you. Yeah, you have to be fully ready to commit, right? And so
we wouldn't have offered you a job sitting on that park bench, bro. You'd already made a commitment to bettering yourself. We met you in the gym. We had met you enough times to be like, dude, that guy's got potential. Let's bring him in. That would have never happened on the park bench. You know,
I just wish you shouldn't want anybody to come in and save you either, because it's that scenario like when your buddy cashes out that life insurance policy.
Nobody should want somebody to save you. Exactly. How can you be an individual of character, discipline, grit, if you're not going through the shit that you put yourself through and climbing out of the hole that you dug for yourself?
Right.
Right? Like, it's okay to have a support system and somebody there to be like, hey, man, good job, whatever, whatever, and run things by. That's all good and dandy. But nobody can go through your shit for you. You have to be willing just to say, okay, here's a fucking year or 2 years that I'm just going to fucking go through it. I'm going to all out commit to seeing what my best version of myself is or what my full potential is. I think it would be insane if there was somebody that had a mirror where you could look at yourself and just get a 30-second sneak peek of what your full potential truly is 5 years from now. That would be an incredible thing, because so many people would pivot and make so many changes in their life, but they just don't have the vision. You know, if somebody could show it to you and you could see it, then you could believe it, right? But you have to be able to believe so deeply in yourself. Like, I believe drug addicts are very powerful people, because when they commit to something, they all out commit, or else because there's plenty of people that can dabble and then they don't get fully addicted and they don't become a full-blown drug addict. Out of all my friends, I was the absolute worst.
Right.
And so when they see me now, they're like, man, it's just so weird that you were the one that was the worst. You were like the crackhead of all crackheads.
It's actually not that weird. You just took all of that energy and focus you were putting into crack and switched it to
something positive.
Being a crackhead and switched it over to something positive.
Exactly. So when I all out commit, I'll be the biggest junkie. I'll be a bigger junkie than you, because I'm more committed to than
that's
you
why
are.
I say
you
know? That's why I say I'm still that same dude 5 years ago with a needle in my arm. I've just changed focus.
He's just changed the focus. That's exactly what it is. Like, so one, if you are an addict, you're a powerful human being, provided that you direct your focus in a positive way. And secondly, if you're in a low situation right now or a bad situation, start having a little bit more vision and clarity with what you want in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Because when you have a little bit more clarity, like, this is not okay, I'm not going to accept this anymore, and I'm gonna start making changes, and be okay for it to suck for a year or two as you climb out. But I promise you, on the other side of it, there's a life that you couldn't even dream of, couldn't even fathom, a life that you envisioned. There's one even better than that waiting for you. If I would have showed you, hey, look at the mirror, look at this. You could have this house, you could have this boat, you have this truck, this brand new SUV, you've got this family, you've got your newborn son, if you would have saw that in the $1,200 Volvo, you would have been like,
bullshit.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, this motherfucker's still smoking something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so the vision that is really that you're working towards, there's something much greater than even that. Your vision right now is based upon where you're currently sitting. So it's hard to see so big because you're biased based upon your current scenario.
Oh, yeah. And your vision evolves as you evolve.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. 100%. Dude. You're great episode, bro.
I literally think we're going to like chop this one up and run a paid ad to it and say, this is the must listen to episode for 2021. New Year's freaking episode.
It's coming out. Well, the reason why I think
it was end of 2020, but dude, a lot of people are going to be listening to this very first of the year, and this is a great episode to listen to great this first year.
So honored not just to work for you guys, but work with you guys and be a part of this. You guys, we're honored everything we've talked about today, you guys have been a part of this. Yeah. So incredible.
And I think it's just the perfect timing for an episode ending a year that might be really shitty for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and they might have accepted it. They may have just, you know, is this really my life? Is this my reality? These are the questions. You're asking yourself the wrong questions.
Yeah. Our audience will love it, but I think this is one for everybody.
Going into 2021, where people are going to start setting goals and say that they're committed to this, whether it's a better body, better finances, you know, better relationships.
Close all the back doors, too.
Yeah.
No excuses.
Yeah.
No excuse.
Exactly.
If you have a goal that you're going to make,
Even 80 grand, 100 grand, 150, whatever
it is, there's no back doors, no matter what. If it takes working 16, 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, do it.
Yep.
Do it.
What's the longest day you think that you've worked since working for us?
Oh.
And I know you pee in cups because you don't want to waste time walking to the bathroom.
I do do that.
Yeah, I do do that. I hope you have hand sanitizer or something on your desk.
I don't know that it's a long day that is really an achievement, to be honest with you. Because
when
you've got a bunch of leads to call, it's easy to work a long day and it blows right past. It's coming in on a Saturday or Sunday when you've already made $10,000, $12,000 that week, and you could easily go home and just
chill out.
Just chill out with your family and enjoy the fact. Yeah. But you've got
I hit my goal for the week, I'm out.
Right. I mean, I've had those days where I've crushed my goal, left on Friday, goal already crushed, and it's like, babe, I'm going in tomorrow. She's like, why? You've been there all week.
Because there's non-stop. Still meat on the bone, babe. There's
still meat on the bone. And then I'll work all day Saturday and crush my next goal. And I'm like, babe, like this next goal, this next level, I never thought I'd be able to hit it. And if I work tomorrow, I can hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had some long days. That comes with sales. That is what it is. I don't mind them.
Yeah.
I don't know what the longest day is.
It's long.
Long days are easy.
Well, I mean, a typical day is pretty much, 8:30 to, 7:30, 8?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sometimes I'll stay till 9, 10,
and
11.
And you're not leaving for lunch because I've gone over there at lunch and food gets delivered to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what people need to understand. Like, when we're talking about all out committing to the goal of wanting to make a change, it has to be all out. Right. Or else it's just not going to work. Like, if you're working through lunches, you're literally have your, you know, piss cup so that if you're on a pitch or you're finding little teeny ways to continue to be at work and continue to grind so that you're connecting with the long-term goal that you have. And some people are like, well, I'm just going to work a little bit harder the hours that I'm there. You know, rather than working more hours on a night or nighttime or weekends or through lunch and just get lunch delivered with Uber Eats or whatever it is, right?
It's cheaper to have Uber Eats delivered than it is leave and get lunch.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's all how you look at it.
In that big old truck, but I'm sure gas is.
At the end of the day, like if you're listening to this podcast right now and you find yourself getting comfortable, your goals aren't set high enough.
Yeah.
That's and really if you hit your goal, like right then, right now, time to set a new one.
Yeah.
Not next week.
Yep.
Not next month. It's right now.
Yeah. When's the best time to make a change?
Right now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
When's the best time to adjust your goals?
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
When's the best time to listen to the next episode of Real Business Owners?
Right now.
Right now.
And
right
tomorrow now. And the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
There's always gold in there.
Yeah. The answer's always right now.
Yeah.
You know, do whatever it is that you want to do and commit to it and honor that commitment and start right now. You know,
absolutely.
So. Dude, we appreciate you coming on and sharing your the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, parts of life. That's, I think, what helps more people than just highlighting money, right?
Sure.
More people can relate to the struggle. But seeing somebody like yourself that's resilient, that has overcome situations. There's people out there in bad situations that haven't even been a drug addict. You know, to come out of a drug addict situation into a bad situation, then overcome the bad situation.
Well, it'd be different addictions, you know, too, man. I had a spurt where I was addicted to gambling. Freaking crushed me for a while, yeah. You know? I've had a spurt where I was addicted to cheeseburgers. That was a hard one to fight back from, bro.
I'm still...
I know we both love the burritos, too. Yeah.
I'm still addicted to those.
When you said cheeseburger, I'm like, man, I think I might be addicted to burritos right now.
Yeah. It's funny, we were sitting in the... sales room one day, and we're talking about how much we both love burritos, and that's when you took me on a little burrito date in your bubble.
Yeah,
that's funny. Good shit, man. Well, dude, just know that we appreciate you. We expect big things out of you based upon what you've done. You know, we know that there's continued chapters that have yet to be written in your life that are going to be, you know, even better than the ones that you've already written. So know that you know, we're always in your corner, and we expect high things of you, not because we want to line our own pockets, because we just want to see you win, because you're a good dude. You got a solid heart. You care about people. And that's why you're a winner, dude. So we appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you want to reach out to Kaysen, you could follow him.
Absolutely.
Where do they follow you, dog?
So Kaysen Jennings on both Instagram and Facebook. Pretty simple. There's not too many of us out there.
Yeah. So, well, there's nobody else out there like him. Yeah. But there might be some people that are named the same. Yeah. But no, there's only one real Kaysen Jennings.
That's right.
Anywho, we know you guys enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you share it with somebody that you feel like it can impact, because we know that there's people out there struggling right now. And, you know, we just want to highlight individuals that have overcome the struggle and that
positive.
Are actually thriving right now at this point in their life. And so, you know, if there's anything that we can do to assist or help or uplift in any way, send us a message, and, you know, we'll do whatever we can to try to be a light in the world, just like Kaysen is. So,
for sure.
Yep. So
if there's somebody out there struggling with addiction right now or whatever it is, and you're in that dark hole that you feel like you just can't get out of, Kaysen Jennings, Facebook and Instagram, hit me up.
Send him a message. So, guys, do us a favor. Continue kicking ass. You know, make us proud. And, you know, let's start setting some lofty goals for 2021 and meet and exceed them. So take care, everyone.